What is going on? Thank you so much for joining the J Mokwapa podcast. This is the fuel to your faith and the death to your doubt. I hope you enjoy this message. Let's get into it.
Public servant of the year. Oh, yes.
Welcome, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in once again at the J Mokwapa podcast. I am so happy that you are here. I am blessed. I'm excited about this episode, and I hope you are too. So if it's your first time listening, here is your extra mercy. If you always listen, you're a loyal listener. Here is your extra mercy. I appreciate you guys. I don't think I can say it enough how much I appreciate you guys. But this week, I saw a shout out from someone who listened to the podcast, and they were just giving a shout out about it. His name is Yonela Nongoto. And homie, here is your extra merciful. I hope you're doing well. Thank you so much for letting people know that you are listening to the podcast. It means so much to me and to the nation of the J Mokwapa podcast. Oh yes. Now I just want you to know, remember, like I said last week, I opened it up that if you want to do the intro of the podcast and the end of the podcast, you just need to send me a DM. If you want to just welcome us in the beginning, 10 seconds and 10 seconds the end, just sit me on the DM. I'll explain how it goes. And the closing date, if you want to do the intro for the podcast and the outro of the podcast, is on the 1st of September. First of September. If you haven't submitted it by the 1st of September, it's done. I'm only going to use the people who've done it on time. So other than that, guys, thank you so much. The title of the message and for the podcast today is called Don't Trip. Don't Trip. Let's get into it. Let's pray. Father, I come before you. Thank you so much for your love. I thank you for your mercy. I pray, God, may this word impact people's lives. I pray, God, may you give me grace to deliver it, my God, with clarity. Above all, I pray you take over, and that, my God, what do you want people to hear, they will hear. In the name of Jesus, we pray, and we all said amen. Amen. Now, I'm going to ask us to go to the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, verse 15. The book of Ephesians, chapter 5, verse 15. It says, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. Look carefully how you walk. Have any of you experienced a moment where you've been so conscious of how you are walking that it makes you walk weird? I remember a time when I was graduating there at Bible College, and then for some reason, you know, everything is okay. You've been walking normally, but when there is a big number of people watching you, all of a sudden it's like you forget how to walk. It's like your legs are busy, you know, they want to you know, and you're like, what are you doing? How do I walk again? Have any of you guys experienced that? But I think the reason why that happens is because we become so aware of how we are walking when we know people are watching us. But sometimes we are not really watching how we walk when nobody is watching us. And that's the truth so much about our walk with God. Sometimes you can find yourself aware of how you speak when people are around you. You are aware of how you were dressing when people are watching you. You can be aware of how you were living when other people are watching you. But are you aware? Are you looking carefully how you walk when you are alone and when nobody is watching you? You see, the Bible says we must walk. You see, when you walk, what are you doing? You are taking steps. But you know what I find when I see a lot of people's lives, and I'm hoping that maybe this is not your situation, but maybe you may be saying that that's you, that your walk does not look like a walk, but instead it looks like you are dragging your feet. You are dragging your feet. What happens when people are dragging their feet when they're supposed to be walking? When you drag your feet, you are going to be dragging dirt with you, things that are behind you, things that you're supposed to leave behind you. You are dragging them with you where you are going. Things you are supposed to be leaving behind, things that maybe you were just supposed to jump over, things you were supposed to avoid. If you are dragging your feet in your walk with God, you will be bringing them into where God is calling you to be. So the Bible says walk. The Bible says walk. Don't be moving dirt from behind to your future. Don't be moving the bad habits from behind to your future, but instead be walking with what? An intentionality. Look, God is calling you to walk with intention. intentionality. Be intentional with how you pray. Be intentional with how you speak. Be intentional with how you are serving God. God says we must walk. Don't drag your feet. Let's go to the book of Galatians chapter 5, verse 13 to 26. It says, it's a big passage. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13 to 26. It says, for you were called to freedom, brothers, not only to use your free, not only do not use your freedom as the opportunity for the flesh, but though but through love serve one another. For the law, the whole law is fulfilled in one word: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite one another and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to one another, to keep you from doing what you want to do. But if you were led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident. They are sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like that. Yes, the Bible did say orgies. The Bible keeps it real. And it says, I warn you, as I've warned you before, those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us keep in what? In step with the Spirit. Step with the Spirit. And it says, let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Hey, when a child is walking, we expect the child to fall because the child is not intentional with the steps. The child is just trying to figure it out. The child is just walking, and generally when you see a child and they're walking, you know the parents are like, yeah, yeah, yay, and the child falls and they just stand there, yeah, they take one step, one, and falls, because you know the child is going to fall because the intentionality behind the steps is not there yet within the mind of the child. And you see, if you are like that, if you're not intentional with your walk with God, you are also going to be tripping over things. You are also going to be tripping. You're going to be falling, and you may even be falling in the same areas of life. You may even be falling in the same patterns of the same things, because you are not intentional about how you are walking in your walk with God. You see, everyone has the opportunity to fall. Now, I want you to know, having a successful walk with God and walking in success, it does not mean that you do not fall, but walking in success means you learn from your falling. Walking in success, it doesn't mean that you will never fall. So when you fall, don't be too discouraged and don't count yourself out. But what you must know is that you must learn from the place where you fell. The book of Galatians chapter 5 verse 16, it says, let us walk in the Spirit. If you walk, it says, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. If you walk by the Spirit, you won't trip. You won't be tripping if you are walking by the Spirit. That's a sign. You won't be tripping. What I should say is, you won't be tripping all the time if you're walking by the Spirit. Now imagine this. You see, where I live, the entrance of where I live, there's a bit of a step that you need to step into before you walk into where I stay. Now maybe that's the same thing at your house. Maybe there's a bit of a step before people walk into the door of your house. Now imagine you had a best friend, and your friend comes to visit you, and when they walk in, they don't see that step before the door, and then they trip.
Yo, my yo.
Your friend is crying on the floor. You walk in and you're like, what's going on? And says, I tripped by the door. And you tell, oh, you pick up your friend. You're very sorry that your friend hurt himself. And you're like, oh my goodness, I'm sorry, man. Like, just remember the door, like, next time you come. And then the next day your friend comes over, the same thing happens. And you're like, what happened? And says, the same trip. I fell down at the door. And imagine it happens third time, fourth time, fifth time. It gets to a point that you are in the house, you're watching TV, and when you hear Mayo, you know your friend is there, because they keep following at the same place. Now in Cape Town, there's obviously Table Mountain, and there's an activity that some people sometimes we do in Cape Town. You go up on a mountain. You don't have to be in Cape Town to hike. I'm just saying, but you can go up on Table Mountain and you can go for a hike and do that type of activity. Now, if my friend is tripping when they're getting into my door, do you think I'm gonna invite them to go up Table Mountain with me, to go on a hike with me, to do something more challenging? No, I'm not gonna invite my friend to go on a higher challenge because the smaller things are making them fall and are making them hurt themselves. Listen, why? Because I care about my friend. It's not because I think I'm better, but because I care about them. I've seen themselves hurt themselves on something small, so I'm not gonna invite you onto something much bigger and something much more challenging. Now, in the book of John chapter 15 verse 15, Jesus says that we are not just his servants, but we are his friends. Now, if Jesus is your friend and he is seeing you fall and fall and fall over the same things, over the same issues, over the same offenses, over the same way of thinking, the same things, you keep falling in the same place, do you think he's gonna call you to the bigger challenges? Do you think he's gonna call you to the higher and the more difficult challenges? Do you think he's gonna call you to the much higher mountains? No, he cannot do that. He will not do that because he cares about you. He sees you tripping over the small things. Come on, guys, don't trip. God calls you to take steps, because when you step and you walk correctly, you will then be preparing yourself, and God will know he can trust you with a greater vision, with greater challenges, with greater impact, with greater influence. But if you are tripping over the small things, if you are tripping over the small offenses, the small little things that you should be walking over by now because you are grown, you are no longer a child, spiritually and even physically, he's not going to call you into the more difficult things. Can somebody say amen? The book of John chapter 3 verse 3 to 5, Jesus answered him, speaking to Nicodemus. He says, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Then Nicodemus asked him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can I enter a second time into my mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born by water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. You see, Nicodemus was coming to Jesus and saying, how can I be born again? And Nicodemus was trying to approach the situation from his own strength. And this is why I bring this up in this sermon, to tell you that not tripping is not purely a work of your own hands. It is not purely your works. You see, there is a responsibility over your life that you need to make a decision that you are not going to be walking and seeking God without being intentional. That you need to make a decision that you're not going to keep tripping over the same things, the same sins, the same mistakes. You're not going to keep tripping in the same way. But I want you to know that we are not relying on our own strength. We are relying on the Spirit of God. Come on. It is relying on Jesus. It is relying on his work in your life that is going to bring the true transformation in your heart and in your mind. It's not about just changing your actions. It's about changing your heart. And that only God can do. Can someone say amen? So now we're going to go over ways that we can not trip. How to not trip. 3 points how to not trip. Number one is you must step up to serve. Number one, if you're taking notes, step up to serve. The book of Matthew chapter 20 verse 28, it says, even as the Son of Man came not to be served but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. So remember, as a Christian, I've said this before, that as a Christian, bear in mind, Christians, we are not trying to be better versions of ourselves. Christians are not trying to be nice people. Christians, our whole mission and your mission as a believer is to be like Jesus. Now, what does the Bible say about Jesus? It says when Jesus shows up, he does not show up to be served, but he shows up to serve. When you show up into a place, do you show up to be served? Are you a person who is serving others? Are you a person who is constantly thinking, how can you serve other people? How can other people be better? How can other people's lives be improved? And how can you play a part in that? Jesus came not to be served. There are too many people who you are too comfortable, and don't be the type of a person where you're so comfortable being served. And unfortunately, we see it many times, even in churches, people are so comfortable being served, and people get uncomfortable with serving. People are uncomfortable with giving of themselves. But when you are not a servant, you see, when you are not one who gives, when you are not one who is generous, can I tell you something today? You will find yourself tripping. You'll find yourself tripping. The book of Acts, chapter 20, verse 35, it says, "And in all things, I have shown you that by working hard, by working and serving hard in this way, we shall help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus." When it says, how he said himself, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." Now, I want to make something really clear for you as you're listening. Every good and perfect gift that comes to your life is a blessing. They can be material things and they can be non-material things. But those good things that come to your life are blessings, and they're good, and you must celebrate them and be happy to have them in Jesus' name. But there is a difference between a blessing and being blessed. You see, if you want to be a blessed person, it is about giving. The Bible says, Jesus says himself, that it is more blessed to give than to receive. Listen, a blessed man is a giving man. A blessed woman is a giving woman. A blessed church is a giving church. A blessed family is a giving family. A blessed marriage is a giving marriage. This is what it's about. If you want to be blessed, you have to be a giver. You see, even unfortunately, too many people have come into this whole culture. It's people even make jokes about it, about "I receive, I receive, I receive." You see, receiving is, you are receiving a blessing, cool, but it doesn't mean you are blessed. Just because you receive a blessing, it doesn't then automatically translate to you being a blessed person. It is more blessed to give than to receive. I want to ask you today, are you a good giver? Because I know it's so easy to be a good taker. Many times you can be a good taker, a good receiver. And unfortunately, churches have trained too many believers to be great receivers, but not great givers. We can stand up and say, "Who wants a blessing?" People will stand up and say, "I receive." I say, "Hey, there is a prophecy over here. I receive. Hey, God is God. I receive. It's all about the receiving. But when people stand up and say, "Hey, let us begin to give in a way that we are not used to giving," people get offended. When we say, "Hey, let's begin to serve in a way that's uncomfortable," people get a bit quiet in the church. Maybe you're even a bit quiet here on the podcast when I'm saying you need to be giving more than you are receiving if you want to be considered blessed. Do you realize how many people are serving you? Just look at Eskom. Eskom is literally serving you by keeping the lights on. The people working in YouTube are serving you by making sure that the platform runs smoothly, whatever social media device you are using. The people who are working are serving you by making sure it works properly. When you come to church, there are people who are serving you. Like, day in, day out, you are being served. I want to ask you, how are you contributing? Who are you serving practically? I want you to think about it, because I said, if you don't want to trip, you need to step up into serving. You need to step up into serving. Who are you actually serving? And you are practically seeing their lives become better. You see, I want you to know that the church, some people like to speak down on the church, but the church is actually the one place as a believer that weekly, once churches open — some churches are open now because we're in the pandemic — but your church is the one practical place you can literally serve people, and you can even have a plan on how you want to change a person's life practically. The church is a beautiful thing and must never be spoken down upon. It is a place we can practically serve people and practically serve our communities. Who are you serving? Whose life is improving because of your service to them? If nobody is improving, if there is no community that's improving because of your life, I want to tell you, you need to step up, because you tripping. You are tripping, and you will be tripping continually if you're not a person who's stepping into serving. Why? Predominantly, it's because Jesus shows up to serve, not to be served. Can someone say amen? I want to ask you, are you good at giving without expecting something back? Because too many people give because they want something back. Too many people give because they're expecting something back. You need to get used to saying that you are a giver. That is who you are. It is not just an activity. It is your identity, because that was the identity of Christ. Can someone say amen? Another truth about this is that, you know, you will never be able to truly understand what it is to receive if you're not a giver. receiving. You'll never truly appreciate receiving something if you are not a giver, because you don't know what happens in the background. You don't know just what it takes often to be a giver. So you will never truly get the revelation of receiving if you're never stepping into the reality of you being a giver. Giving without expecting. I know our culture is not teaching us this. Our society is not teaching us this. But Jesus, again, our example is someone who shows up to give and not to receive. So that number one, how to not trip, is step up into serving. Number two is you must step into the Spirit. Step into the Spirit. Now, many times you can hear that we must walk by the Spirit, but it can sound a bit abstract if we're being honest. And I'm sure maybe you're listening to me and you're like, yeah, step in the Spirit. How do we do that? Now, just to maybe bring a bit of clarity on what the Bible is saying, or how we can walk into that in our lives is... you know, when you step into something, you are stepping out of another thing. When you step into employment, you are stepping out of unemployment. When you step into marriage, you're stepping out of singleness. When you step into a pool, you're stepping out of dryness. You see, when you are stepping in the Spirit, you are stepping out of the flesh. The flesh is what is the sinful nature on the inside of us. And the sinful nature on the inside of you, can I tell you what it does? It is focused on what it sees. It is moved by what it hears. It is moved by what it can touch. It is moved by what it can taste. It is moved by the senses of the body, is usually where we see the sinful nature on the inside of you take its control and try to influence you through your senses. And predominantly, it is saying, do what feels good. I want to read this again. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. It says, but I say to you, walk by the Spirit and you'll not gratify the desires of the flesh. You see, when you walk by the Spirit, it's not to say you're going to live a perfect life, but it is saying that when you begin to go off track, it is saying, Holy Spirit, bring me back on track. Don't let me go too far when I am going off track. When I'm losing my way, don't let me go too far in a way that it is going to destroy me. Now, what does walking by the flesh look like? Remember, I said when you are stepping into the Spirit, you are stepping out of the flesh. Now, how does it look like, or what are signs of walking in the flesh? It says sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like that. Things like that. So don't think walking in the Spirit is just these things. As a matter of fact, you can just take these things as categories, and all the things attached to these things is walking in the Spirit, is walking in the flesh. Sorry, walking in the flesh. Those are the works. The Bible says in Galatians 5 verse 19 says the works of the flesh. Now Galatians chapter 5 verse 22, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit, it says, are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness. You must understand that the flesh is based on works. It's based by your own actions and your own efforts. You will find if you are trying to walk and serve God and live your life purely based by your own wisdom, by your own strength, you will be finding yourself walking by the flesh. And because you are trying to use your own senses, then the flesh is going to be what is leading your thoughts and leading your life. And unfortunately, if you're trying to live by these senses, by what you just living by your sight, living by what you hear, living by what you feel, especially these days, living by what you feel, living by what you can touch, living by what tastes good, living by what you smell, then often you will find your steps becoming corrupted because you have a sinful nature, and that will lead you and cause you to stray. If you were using the flesh, if you were using your works to try and live, the flesh is then going to take over. But if you are walking by the Spirit, you are stepping outside of just walking by what you see. Come on, you are stepping outside of just by what you've been hearing. You are stepping outside of just by how your feelings and what your feelings are telling you. And you are walking by conviction in Jesus' name. You're walking by what you believe and not just what you see. So if you don't want to trip, you need to step out of the flesh and walk by the Spirit. You see, again, I want you to just understand a thing by walking by the flesh. It's simply a simple way of walking in the flesh is self-worship. Worshiping yourself. You know, one of the biggest idols that you will have to deal with is yourself. Is because if you're being honest, if you're truly being honest, you'll realize that a lot of your life is about you. A lot of your life is about taking care of yourself, making sure things are fine with you, making sure. And this is why even people struggle with God, is because who are you going to serve first? You or God? Who is truly gonna be first concerning this life of yours? Are you gonna be first, or is God gonna be first? And your flesh is gonna say, put yourself first. If it feels good, it must be good. But when you live by the Spirit, you realize that it is, that there is so much greater, that there are things beyond your understanding, things beyond what you see, things beyond what you feel. So don't be moved by those things, but be moved by the Spirit of God. Can someone say amen? I know I am preaching, and I hope that this is reaching you. So if you don't want to trip, number one, as I said previously, is you must step up to serve others. Number two is you must step into the Spirit and live and walk by the Spirit. But number three is you must step over yourself. As I'm bringing this message to a close, step over yourself. Another way of saying that is get over yourself. In the book of Matthew chapter 24 verse 10, it says, and then many will fall away in the last days, many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. You know, when there is division between people, it's often because someone is not getting over themselves. It's often because someone has elevated themselves in a situation. You've elevated yourself in an argument. You've elevated yourself in a sharing of opinion, and that brings a division. I want to say, if you don't want to trip, you need to get over yourself. Step over yourself. Again, I'm saying, step over yourself. It's not about you. You need to realize that you are not that great. When the believer can truly get a revelation of how great God is, you'll realize you're not that great. When you realize how wise God is, you realize you're not that wise. When you realize who God is, you realize that it's supposed to all be unto His glory. So it's not about you. You are not the special one. We should not defer to you. We should not turn to ask, how are you feeling? It's about what God says. When you understand that, you realize that, hey, there needs to be a change of thought, a change of action, because it is not about you. So you need to get over yourself. Don't trip. Don't trip. The Bible says, watch how you're walking. If you are living your walk with God and it's about you, listen, you need to get over yourself. Acts chapter 13, verse 21, it says, then they asked for a king, and God gave them Saul, son of Kish, the man of the tribe of Benjamin, for 40 years. You see, the people asked God for a king, and God gave them Saul. Now, Saul started well. But you know what happened with Saul? He didn't get over himself. It was all about him. He was self-centered. It was all about him. His life was all about him. He took the blessing of God and made it about him. I want to speak to you today, and I want to warn you. Never make the blessings that God give you, whether they are material or immaterial. It could be gifts over your life, or it could be practical things that God has made a way that you have them. Never use the gifts of God that God has given you and make them about you. No, you are blessed to be a blessing. You see, what Saul couldn't do is he couldn't step over himself. He couldn't get over himself. It was all about him. Are you here listening to me today? And if you look closely at yourself, you are looking at your life and you're realizing that it's all about you. You see, in the book of Acts chapter 13, the next verse, chapter 13 verse 22, it says, and when he had removed him, when God had removed Saul, he raised up David to be their king, of whom he testified and said, I have found in David, the son of Jesse, a man after my heart, who will do all my will. You see, God removed Saul because he was so full of himself. You see, if you're full of yourself, be prepared to be moved. If you're full of yourself, be prepared to be replaced. Don't think you are irreplaceable. God will look at you and he will give you an opportunity. God will look at you and he will give you material blessings and immaterial blessings. He will give you anointing. He will give you gifts and talents. He will give you blessings and he will see, will you make it about yourself? And as soon as you start to make it about you, do you know what's going to happen? Expect a replacing. Expect him to find someone who has really given themselves to serving God. Expect God to find a David to replace you. If you're going to have the heart of Saul, be prepared to be replaced. But look, I want to give you this revelation today. What happened was God removed Saul. God removed Saul. You know one thing that is true? There can be some things in your life that you are struggling to remove from your life. There can be some things that are making you trip, that you are struggling to get out of your life. And I want you to know that this passage says God removed Saul. And maybe as you're listening to me today, I want to pray with you, and you're saying that you're finding yourself tripping over the same things. You're finding yourself tripping over your own desires, tripping over your own, you're too sensitive. You know, maybe you're too sensitive and you make things about you too quickly. Maybe you realize you are insecure and you make things about you too quickly. Maybe you just get too excited and you want life to be all about things working out for you, and you were tripping. Maybe it is sins that you keep falling into and you're tripping over the same things, when God is saying be careful of how you are walking with God. And you're saying you're struggling to get over these things. Again, I'm saying this passage says God removed Saul, and maybe you're realizing in your heart, you know that there's Saul. Your heart, you realize there are areas in your heart that it is a Saul in your heart. A Saul is in your heart that has rulership in certain areas of your emotions, of your thoughts, of your actions. And the Bible says God removed Saul. And I want to say a prayer that God would remove the areas of Saul in your life, and he'd begin to resurrect and bring to life and replace a heart of David. That you would not just be a person who is seeking your own will. As a matter of fact, you would stop being a person seeking your will. And then when God would look at your heart, not just your actions. Let me just say this. There are some people who you act like you are giving God all the glory, but your heart is, you're doing it for yourself. It's really about you. And please analyze yourself today. Analyze yourself today. Amen. I want us to say a prayer that God would remove the areas of Saul in our hearts, and he would replace that part with David. Replace it with a heart of David. That we would be after God's own heart. That we would watch how we are walking, and that we would truly give him glory. Amen. Look, I want to tell you, this reality, or this truth I'm giving you. You know, it's not when you are stopping to do something, make sure you're replacing the bad action with a good action. If you're replacing bad friend groups, make sure you are literally replacing the bad friends with good friend groups. You need to replace. God removed Saul. He didn't leave the place empty and say, well, I've just removed it. No, he replaced it with David. Now, I'm going to say this prayer with you. Can we close our eyes? Let us pray. God, I come before you. I thank you so much for your love and your mercy. God, we don't want to trip. We don't want to trip. We don't want to hurt ourselves. We know, God, if we're tripping over the small things, we won't be invited into the greater missions. And we want to be used for you. We want to bring you glory in the name of Jesus. So today, God, I pray, help us to not trip. Help us to not trip, God. I pray in the name of Jesus, help us to step into serving others, God. Help us to step in the spirit and out of the flesh, oh God. But I pray also, God, help us to step over ourselves, to get over ourselves. Remove the heart of Saul that makes it all about us, that makes it all about our opinions, that makes it all about our thoughts, that makes it all about, especially making it about our feelings. But God, may you take that out of us, and I pray replace it with the heart of David, that we are after your own heart and that we would do your will today. Father, I pray, may this word be like a seed in each person's heart, that it would bear fruit. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray and we all said amen. Amen. Thank you so much, guys. That was the J. McCopper podcast. Shout out to you for listening on Apple Podcast, Spotify, YouTube, Instagram Live. Remember, I don't save the Instagram Lives because it's on YouTube. Guys, I appreciate you all so much. The reviews keep going up. I think I have 35 reviews on Apple Podcasts. You are all amazing. Please share the links. Let's spread God's word. I love you guys so much. That was the Jamie Copper Podcast. Signing out with love. Oh, remember, if you want to do the intros and the outros for the intro and outro for the podcast, hit me up on the DMs and I'll explain it all. The due date is the 1st of September. Hit me up and let's make it happen. That's the Jamie Copper Podcast. Signing out with love. Take care. Thank you so much for listening to the Jamie Copper Podcast. Please make sure you subscribe and leave a review and also share it with all your loved ones and even the haters. Okay, take care, guys.